We're going to be in James chapter 1, and we're just going to start off with verse 19. This is an awesome verse if you wanted to stick something on your mirror or put it up at work. Anywhere where you feel tension, this is probably a good verse to post in your life. So Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter. We're going to be in James chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 19. The message today, the title, very simple, is We Are Here, We Are Listening. We are listening. So let's look together, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. And James writes to the church, he says, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let's do that one more time. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, everyone, let them be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at how to deal with church hurts. And while most churches will hurt at some time or another, I want to be really careful with this topic, okay? I don't want to paint broad strokes because most churches are doing much more healing than hurting. So be careful even as we walk through some of these things. But definitely there are many people who have been hurt either by church teachings or by church people. So one of the things we want to be careful of today too is even how we define church. And we saw even in our simple book in our Sunday school lesson, there was two people had made an acrostic about church. And the first one had everything that the C, the H, the U was all about the building. And the second person, their acrostic, all had people's names. All right? And so what we're reminded of again today from the get-go is that for the most part, when we speak of church, we're talking about people. And where there are people, what also is going to be there? Everything that comes along with people, right? Where there are sinners, there's going to be what? Sin. Are there any sinners in church? Thank goodness. I thought there for a second. I was a little worried, right? No. There are sinners in church. There's going to be sin in church. And so because of that, we have to kind of manage our expectations a little bit, okay? There is someone who has never sinned, and there is someone who has never failed. And that's who we sang about and sang to all morning, all right? If you can keep your hope and your eyes on the Savior, you can kind of navigate through this thing that's called church that can get kind of messy sometimes. And so part of what we're going to talk about with our friends, the people that we love, is kind of learning to manage some of the expectations of church. And in the coming weeks, we're going to look at how to find forgiveness for the unforgivable. So some of you guys might remember even a little bit of this as we went through Healing is a Choice and Unstuck. It's that idea that there are some things that you should be angry about, and you have justified anger, if you will, over those things. But you can find forgiveness even in those things. You can find a path to forgiveness. So if you know somebody who's been through a really hard time and searching for forgiveness, if you can get them here next week or share that message with them, I think it will encourage them in that. So we're going to look at that idea. Also, we're going to see in a couple weeks that this is kind of an interesting thing, and Casey even brought up in Sunday school today, sometimes church is supposed to hurt as it relates to ultimately healing, right? For example, whenever I was disobeying and misbehaving, my father hurt me. Anybody ever had that happen to them, right? I was disciplined so that I might be better, okay? And so sometimes as we look at church, we will see even church sometimes, when church, as it speaks the truth in love, that sometimes that truth is going to hurt. And that's not so much the church that is hurting. That is the offense of the cross. And I'm going to try not to preach that message right now because it's a good one. Okay? The cross is offensive. And it will change. And it will chisel. And it will hurt. And we're going to look at that in a couple weeks. And understand that sometimes there is supposed to be hurt in church. And then probably where we're going to end up, and I hope that we can really do this correctly and pray for the Lord's grace in this, but we're going to talk about the paradox of being lonely or sad in the midst of God's people. And I'll just be real honest with you. There's a lot of people in church today that they've encountered Christ, but because of all the waves and the things that they've been through and the experiences, they come into places like this, and they come because they know they need to, but they come and they're lonely and they're burdened and they're hurting. And for them, even coming to church, it hurts a little bit just to come. Because that means that someone's not going to be there that they want to be there, or somebody's not leading them like they should be, or things aren't going to be the way that they had hoped they would turn out. And we have to pray for grace for those people, and we've got to step into their lives and let them find love and joy, even in the midst of what might be loneliness and sadness. So that's kind of what's coming down the road. So you guys will have a clue, an idea, if you want to share with people and invite them to come or invite them to listen. Those are the things we're going to talk about. Again, anywhere you find sinners, you will also find sin and pain. But what I want to tell you today, that is not an excuse for allowing people to be hurt. All right? Yeah, we could say, well, churches are just made up of people, and that's what happens. But that doesn't mean that it's okay for us to hurt people, correct? That means when we confront things that are unjust, we need to fix those things. As a matter of fact, if you pull up the next slide, all through the New Testament, the Bible, Paul was speaking and hammering away at churches for how they were hurting people and trying to correct those things. Now, thank the Lord today, I'm not going to take you through like a 10-hour sermon on each of these different topics, all right? But if you look in the book of Galatians, we spoke about this a lot on Wednesday nights. The church was treating faith as a legalistic ritual. Like, you check off these boxes, you sign the dotted line, you're in. And Paul had to fight against the church hurting people by their false doctrine of legalism. If you look in Colossians, there's a whole heresy in the book of Colossians that Paul is fighting by training to train up these people in the right way to go. Sometimes churches have hurt people by teaching them things that aren't from the scriptures. Those things need to be corrected, and that's when the church hurts and it needs to be fixed. Sometimes it's changes in leadership. I've seen this so many times, okay? This is really difficult. We are people who are relational, and we get tied to people. And when those relationships break, what happens to us? Sometimes we break too, right? You guys, many of you guys, if you've been around church very long, you've probably been there. You found either a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a church leader, a deacon, somebody that you just love to be around. You love to worship the Lord together. When you were around them, you felt better. And then at some time, for some reason, the Lord took them away from you. And it hurts, doesn't it? Right? Now, how you place the blame, sometimes you might blame them. You might blame the circumstance. You might blame the church. Whatever. What we have to, again, remember is, who are we worshiping? Who's our greatest relationship with? So that in those transitions, we cannot get set aside, but we can focus on what's important. And that's what Timothy was dealing with there, Paul trying to transition from his leadership to Timothy's leadership. In Corinth, whatever sin you had, they had it. They had everything wrong that could be wrong going on in that church. And Paul addresses those in both books of Corinthians, okay? The church was hurting people, and so he spoke out against all of these things. Even in Philippians, we did this last spring. We saw where there were two ladies that they were in church and they both wanted their way. And guess what happens when that happens? Conflict, right? Exactly. That's what goes on with church. And so what I want you to see is this is nothing new, but also I want you to see is that this is something that we fight against, all right? As a church, we're going to fight not to hurt people. We're going to fight to do things right and to treat people well. And that also is not new. That's been going on for a long time. As you think about the beginning of the church, just a few ideas. And again, this is from the book Simple that we read this morning. But Rob Morgan kind of laid out this beginning idea of the first church. And if you thought of Jesus as the first pastor, well, he was being crucified. And if you thought of Peter as the chairman of the board, he was out cursing everyone, saying he wasn't any part of that group. And if you thought about the disciples being the other part of the group, they weren't anywhere to be found. As a matter of fact, the treasurer of the group had just betrayed the pastor and committed suicide, and that's how we launched the church. It's a good thing we had a few ladies that were staying really good there, women's auxiliary, to hold things together, right? Can you imagine? It started in chaos. So if your expectations are that, well, once people come into church, they're saved and they're holy and everybody makes perfect decisions and we all have the same exact opinion and we make the same decisions, that's not how it's ever been, has it? Interesting. Okay, So today, again, this is nothing new, but we don't want to stay here. This week I heard an old quote, and I'm not a big fan of the person that made the quote, but I really like the quote and I wanted to share it with you. See what you think about this. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to stay that way. Do you understand what they're saying there? You guys, we want people to be able to come in these doors and not be okay. Because what happens if you expect everyone to be okay, then you have a lot of fake people, don't you? How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You lie. You're not fine. Right? We need to have a place here where people can come in and not be okay. I'm lonely. I'm hurting. I'm anxious. I'm nervous about this financial problem. I'm nervous about this health issue. I'm nervous about a job situation. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's okay to not be okay. I've got a porn addiction. I've got a drug addiction. I've got something weighing me down that I can't seem to beat. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to stay that way. That's where the church is different than the local bar, right? You can go into the local bar and find people who will say, it's okay to not be okay. I'm not okay either. And you come in the church and we're going to say the same thing. It's okay to not be okay. But the difference is, it's not okay to stay that way. With the Lord's help, you can become everything that he died for you to be. And that's the message of the gospel. And that's why we're here today, okay? So as we think about these things, again, as you relate to people, we're not going to put expectations for people to come in this place and have everything together. Quite the opposite. We expect people that come in these doors to not be okay because we're not okay, right? We're growing in different areas in our lives, but we're striving to be what Jesus wants us to be. In a moment, we're just going to look at some stories of some hurts this morning, and that's what I really need you to get a hold of today. I need us to try to kind of understand what it means and what it feels like to be hurt by the church. So we'll spend a little time there in just a few minutes. But first, I want to try to help you with a little bit of this idea of managing expectations, and it can help in so much in this area of hurt. So I've laid out a few ideas and examples here, and these are just random, but I think they'll give you a picture, again, of some things that we can do to help people be careful so maybe they won't be quite so hurt by the church. Some people expect the church to be the welfare program for them. Now, should the church help people in need? Absolutely, to the best of its ability. But some people's expectations are that, well, I went to the church to have them pay my bills. They didn't pay my bills. I'm hurt by the church. I'm not going there. Do you see how that can be a problem when dealing with expectations, right? Church, like many other organizations, it has a lot of different people claiming its needs. It's just kind of like your home, right? Anybody got any bills at your house? And you got a lot of different bills, right? And you got a lot of different things to take care of. And so while we do want to serve and take care of people, we have to recognize, people need to help recognize that we can't take care of everything, but what we need to do is help people to take care of themselves as we're able, and then as we're able to take care of their needs too. So again, most churches don't have money to pay everyone's bills. Help people with that kind of expectation. The second one here I think is kind of interesting, and again, I've not had this problem, but I have talked to brothers who have, and it's this idea here. Well, I gave my tithes, I gave my 10%, so the pastor better be on call when I need him. Amen? Like I heard the folks that were running the six on ESPN, Jamel, and I can't remember the other guy's name. Anyway, that Jamel, she said this week, man, I got a big paycheck, and so now I'm paying a lot of money in taxes, so the government better hear my opinion. Right? Which to an extent we think that, right? If I pay taxes, I should have a right. If I pay tithes, then there's some things that I should have a right to. Be careful, right? What are you here for? What are you trying to accomplish? Who are you worshiping, okay? Now, again, as much as I am able, and until my wife would probably hurt me if I was gone too much, which right now I don't think I'm even close to that point, so I want to be there for you. See, look at her. Take him, she says, right? I want to be there and available for you guys. I believe the leadership in our church, our men in our church are pretty amazing. They want to help, love, and serve, and they want to be there as they can. That's a really cool place to be, guys, okay? We want to be that way. But at the same time, some people's expectation is, when I give, then I should get, okay? Let's change that. That is not how things are laid out, all right? Be careful with those expectations. You give for the glory of the Lord. The next one here, this is a really important one too, and one that I have done and I need to be careful of, and hopefully you can be too. Sometimes somebody will do something that makes you angry, or maybe just sets you aback, right? There's an event, there's an occasion, and somebody does something, and you're like, who do you think you are? Right? You been there? And it's even worse if it's somebody in your church family. Well, I can't believe. What you need to be careful of is right here. Before you write someone off, find out if you're seeing something that is a lifestyle, a habitual behavior, or if it's an event. It's an occasion, okay? Now, for the most part, I know, and I already have, and I probably will in the future, I eventually will make everybody in this room mad one time or another. Just write it down, okay? It's going to happen. But hopefully my lifestyle is that over the course of my time with you, you see that my heart is for you, for your growth, for your joy, for your ultimate salvation, if you will, your sanctification. That's what I'm about. And I hope that's demonstrated by my life. And we need to treat other believers in church the same way. There'll be people come in and somebody probably will make them mad sometime, right? They might make you mad sometime. The point is, can you look at the whole of their life rather than judging them by one event? So be careful about that. Again, managing our expectations. This next one is really important as well. Do we have anybody in here who's opinionated? Do not raise your hand. We already know who you are. Right? Probably everybody pretty much here, right? Okay. In regards to differences of opinion, focus on the fundamentals and give grace on the areas that are lesser, that are preferences. Okay? If you come into this church and you want to denounce the virgin birth, if you want to deny the inerrancy of the scriptures, if you want to set aside the substitutionary atonement of Jesus, if you want to say that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, if you want to say that he's not coming again, and if you say there is no such thing as hell, then you and I are going to go at it. Beyond that, we're going to get along pretty good, right? Music styles. You like country music? I'm not a big country fan. It's okay. We'll still get along. You like jazz? I love jazz. We'll probably do pretty good. You like hip-hop? Yeah, okay, maybe you and Isaiah get along okay, all right? There's going to be differences of opinion. You like a nice color design. Maybe you like mauve or whatever color this is, and I like brown or gray or whatever, right? What are you guys laughing at? Get along, right? Is that something that we should be breaking our fellowship over, the color of the carpet? And yet churches have split over things as silly as what color carpet we're going to get. Or whether we're going to have hymn books. Or are we going to have a projector here or there? Or what date are we going to have this event on? Are we going to have this event? Mm-mm. Let's go the other way with that. That is not going to be something that divides us here. And I'm going to fight to protect that too. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, those things that are key and core to the gospel and core to the scriptures, those things we're going to have a difference of opinion over, we're going to have to separate. But other than those really five or six things that I listed, for the most part, everything else, I can get along great. You say you love Jesus and you're trying to serve him, the other stuff we'll figure it out. And that's part of the thing that we need to do is we manage expectations with other people. And then probably finally here, and this is an important one, and I have seen this in my ministry, and I would just kind of challenge you to be careful of this today in your own heart rather than trying to judge someone else. Be careful in your own heart. If you find yourself placing more value in a position than in your relationship to Christ, you're in a dangerous situation. Here's what I mean by that. Some people place so much emphasis on church membership. I've seen mothers and grandmothers get so upset that we might would take one of their children or their grandchildren off the rolls of a church, even though they hadn't been in church in years, and even though their lifestyle had no inclination towards pursuing Christ. But they had wrapped up that name on a church roll as getting their child into heaven and in a place of status. You guys, that piece of paper isn't going to matter anything on Judgment Day when you face your Lord. You see what I'm saying? Okay. How many people have gotten upset because they didn't get to sing the solo or be on the praise team or even be like a deacon? I want to have that title of deacon. I've been here long enough. I should deserve such a title as that. Well, if you're about the title, then folks, we got a problem. We put titles on people who are already doing those things. See what I'm saying? If the person is already loving, leading, serving, ministering, that's who's going to be deacons, not people who need a title. Be careful about titles. Again, whether it's being a youth leader, heading the outreach event, there's just so many things that sometimes we get caught up and wrapped up in having a position and a title, trying to build our own egos up with these things when they don't really matter in the sense of our justification or our righteousness. We're as filthy rags, but with the Lord's help, we are reconciled and redeemed. So be careful with titles, okay? We give titles to help organize things. That's how churches work. But be very careful about putting too much stake in them. So there are biblical principles for dealing with wrongs. And probably in about 2 weeks, we're going to look at what the Scripture says about things like church discipline and what you should do when somebody does wrong you, because it will happen. And again, like I said today, we don't want to just leave it undone. We want to do something about it. We're going to look at those in a couple weeks. But in the meantime, where we want to start, and I think this is where we would start with people who are hurting, is we need to grab hold of how they really feel and understand where they're coming from so that we can minister to them. So what I'm going to do this morning, a little bit different again, I'm going to read you a few short stories, some stories of people who have been hurt by the church. And you may agree or disagree with some of the stories that you hear, but what I want you to try to grab hold of is to try to feel what they're feeling and how could they be reconciled to the church, okay? I got these from a website, Micah J. Murray, Why We Left the Church, and he had gathered together some stories from different people, so I thought I'd share a few of them with you this morning. So the first person that says this, I left because my youth pastor lied to me. I shared things with him that he said would be between us and God, and a week later, half the congregation knew what I had told him. Church hurt? Yeah, right? Hey, I gave you my trust. Maybe I shared it as a prayer request, but I shared, please don't. And you said this would just be between us. And then I'm going through the halls next week, and all these people are whispering about me. How did they find out? I didn't tell anybody else. Is that right? Is that something we just look the other way? Well, it's not a big deal. Interesting, right? Do you understand how someone might be hurt and might have a hard time coming back to that place under those circumstances? Okay. So today, what I want to encourage you, can you understand their hurt? And then what do you do to reconcile? Think about that person, that story. Here's another story. One of the biggest reasons I left the organized church was the fact that we, as the church, were simply maintaining our own club/clubhouse. We tithe to pay the cost to operate the organization. I guess since there were no widows, orphans, or hungry people around, we were able to justify keeping it all in-house. Whew. That's pretty tough, isn't it, right? And even you guys, because of our situation, we used to probably have a few, maybe 100 or 200 people helping to maintain this facility. It's a grand facility. Now what could happen in our mindset sometimes is we get focused like, we got to survive. We got to take care of the facility. But if you were here last Sunday, we do not want to neglect the unborn, the elderly, those with special needs, the refugee, those in jail, whew, right? Those people need to be loved and invited into our body. So we have to be careful. And again, some people, when they saw that, they felt like that it was just about maintaining the organization. The spirit was missing, and so was the heart. You could see how, can you see how that might hurt someone, all right? Think about that just a little bit. And kind of, again, try to understand them. Here's another person. This is interesting as well. They said, even though I haven't technically left, I clocked out emotionally and just do the movements with the other attenders. Isn't that sad? I am there to worship my God, but all of the blood, sweat, and tears I gave has long been forgotten by those whom I trusted the most. I even trusted them with my salvation. Now they are just faces. Not a single one was there for me and my son when we needed them. I'm already saved, so why bother with me now? They are too busy saving others and spending their time with the lost. I shared that vision, but now it all seems to be a masquerade. Every Sunday, I know it's just showtime. Okay, camera 2, go wide. Camera 1, get me a close-up of the lead singer. Camera 2, give me a slow push towards the stage. In 5, 4, 3, 2, it's showtime. Can you hear the hurt in that person? We needed you, and nobody checked in on us. Nobody knew our hurt. Nobody would listen. I'm here. I don't know. This is what I've been doing. Whew, man, what a horrible place to be, right? Because we don't want people here in that state. And the only way to get out of that state is to get into people's lives, to have lunch with them, have breakfast with them, to talk with them, to hear their hurts, hear their prayer requests. That's why I take this time, even just as little as it is on Sunday morning, to give people an opportunity to share their hurts. So you have an opportunity to follow up on them and check in. On Wednesday nights, we do the same thing, okay? We have to step into the lives of people to help them through that. Just a couple more. The hardest part is that I feel like I'm having to do all this searching and seeking alone. I have questions I'm terrified to ask because I don't want to just be slapped over the head with a Bible and have various verses spewed at me. I can't speak for the rest of my generation, but when it comes to church, I just want to feel safe. It's not always about rebelling, and I wish older generations could recognize and understand that. I want to feel safe. Interesting. The last one here. I was so sick and tired of the agenda-driven services. It was never about relationship. It was about numbers. I was tired of being called too spiritual or not spiritual enough. I was tired of the numerous amounts of sermons about why I shouldn't have sex before marriage as a young adult, and I heard more about that than I did about Jesus. I left the church because I was welcome, but I wasn't received. I attended my church for 5 years, and still people would ask me if Sunday was my first day, even though I had helped, served, and volunteered in various different ways. I was tired of the masks, the facades, and the show, and all I wanted, all I wished for, was to be part of a community of people, to be able to give what I had been given and receive what I lacked. Man, I love that. To give what I had been given and to receive what I lacked. Isn't that a great picture of what church ought to be? I left the church because the church broke my heart. But I'm realizing real church is the only thing that will help bring healing to this brokenness. Do you just want to go find that person and give them a big hug? Right? Let me walk with you. Let me hear your story. Let me love on you. Yeah, that hurts. I get it. I hope that today that you will get it a little bit too. Again, James 1:19, that's where we want to spend our time today from the scriptures. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Man, that's some great advice, isn't it? How many jobs and organizations and people would be saved? How many marriages would be saved if they would follow those three things, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So today I want to give you some things first off. Here are some things not to say directly to someone who is hurting. For those who sometimes are quick to speak, you follow what I'm talking about here, okay? If you encounter someone who has just recently been hurt by the church, here's some things that you need to approach carefully and some things you don't want to say. The first thing you wouldn't say to someone is that, well, churches just aren't perfect. You know what you're basically saying to that person? Get over it. That's life. How well is that going to go? Not well at all, right? It's kind of the same thing when someone suffers a huge loss. You don't jump right in with, well, God works all things together for good. I'm sure there's a good reason in it. Does that help them in that moment? All that does is like sticking a knife in that wound and just turning it around. Right? No. Don't start off with, well, that's just how it is. Churches aren't perfect. Don't use something like this. What will the non-believers think if you tell them what the church did to you? You better keep this one to yourself. I'm saying that sarcastically, all right? Do you think that ever happens in churches? I got this from a Revolution magazine. The guy that wrote this article for some of these ideas, he told of his own story where he went on a mission trip and he was manipulated by the missions agency. And when he came back to the church, he wanted to tell people what had happened so it wouldn't happen again. You know what the church told him? We can't tell people that. That'll make a big mess. You need to just be quiet about that and put that under the rug. Right? I'll tell you what non-believers will think if they find out you're hiding stuff under the rug. They're going to know your hypocrisy and that you're fake. If you take some of these challenges head on and you address these injustices and you recognize that you're not perfect but that you're trying to make things better, guess what the non-believer will think then? You'll have some credibility with them. All right? So don't tell people that have been hurt by the church, well, just to kind of hide it under the rug. Or don't be worried about what the outside will think. All right, we need to do things justly. Don't tell someone who's just recently been hurt by the church to stop being bitter. All right. I haven't ever showed you guys that video. One of these days we're going to watch the Bob Newhart video where he counsels a lady and he says, get over it or I'll bury you in a box alive. Have you ever heard that one? I'll have to bring that out for you so you guys get the joke, okay? Sometimes people treat people that way, right? You just need to stop being bitter. Well, as we looked when we talked about healing as a choice, there's a whole process to overcoming bitterness, isn't it? And usually it's not someone telling you just to stop it. Again, don't treat people who have been hurt by the church with just that kind of rough, like, well, it's your fault. You should have gotten over this by now. If you have been hurt justly, in other words, if you're hurting because your own sin has been exposed, then repentance is your move forward. But if you have been hurt unjustly, in other words, someone mistreated you, you have a right to be angry. Hello? Yeah. If someone definitely mistreats you, there's a place where you should feel that grief, and you should be upset about that, and you have to process and work through that and let the Lord help you to overcome that. So we need to be careful when we're talking to people about that. And then the last one, kind of similar to number two even, is, well, do you want to divide the church over this? If you tell on sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, that could divide the church. We better just bury it. You guys, if that's the church that's going to be, it's going to be so weak it will shatter, right? We can't just let these things go on by. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 8, verse 32? This is what he words it. And you will know the truth. And what does the truth do? It will set you free, all right? We have to walk and live by the truth, even as we deal with church hurts. When we see injustice, even in the church, we need to do our best with the Lord's help to deal with that. And I'm not saying it's easy, and sometimes it's very complex and tricky, right? Some of these situations are very difficult, but we need to be led by the Spirit as we try to do that. All right, so here is the key today. Again, I want you to be quick to do what? What's the first thing? Quick to listen. And this is the whole key. If you want to make, you want to change the world, you can do it without saying a word. This is good. Listen to some of these things. I think they'll encourage you hard this morning. So here's a few tips today on listening. Again, some of these are from Desiring God, and I can share them out. I actually did share them out last night on Twitter if you guys are interested, but some of the things to think about here today. And I want to be careful here because I'm definitely not talking about gossip. Some people will use listening as an excuse to gossip, right? Oh, let me hear your worries and your concerns. Let me hear your deep, dark secrets. Oh, I can't believe you thought that way and did that. Wait till I tell so-and-so. Does that happen in church sometimes? It does. Okay? This is not what I'm talking about, right? We're talking about listening today. I want you to understand our purpose is to help people find reconciliation and forgiveness. The first thing, and some of these are from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, so good, some things to consider with. He says, listen with both ears. Do you listen with both ears? What does it mean to listen with one ear? And I do this all the time. I sit down with Vicky. How's it going, Vicky? And Vicky will start to tell me what's going on. And what you know what I'm doing in my brain? I'm kind of letting that stuff go in so maybe I can catch it later if I need it. But what I'm doing right now is, what am I going to say to Vicky? What's my week been going on? How have I been doing? What's going to be my story? What's my next question? I got to get all this stuff laid out so I can continue the conversation. Oh, great. I don't know what you did, but I'm sure it was good. That's listening with one ear. Men, do you ever do that with your wife? No, you don't listen with either ear with your wife, right? Sometimes when we treat people who are hurting, we listen the same way. We're already trying to figure out what we're going to tell them that's going to just change their whole perception of everything rather than hearing their hurt. You hear me this morning? If you will sit down and listen with both ears, you will change lives. And I hate to bring it up and over, but again, from that lady this summer at the car show, all people did was sit and listen to her. And it changed her whole perception of church. Just because they listened. They didn't have to say a thing. Listen with both ears. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Solomon could write some zingers, couldn't he? Yeah. I want to challenge you today, when you run into people who have been hurt by the church, just listen. Listen with both ears. The second thing I want you to think about is to ask good questions. I want you to try to gently draw people out. Don't just ask yes or no questions. You guys have seen those things, right? Somebody frames something for you and all you have to say is yes or no and then you're on your merry way. When you're trying to talk and converse with someone that's been through hurts, ask some good questions. Don't try to pry, but just ask good questions that will let them share their story. And we need to get better at that to be good listeners. And the third one here, and this is so powerful, and I hope that you grab hold of this. And this is what the Lord's challenged me on. I want you to see listening as a ministry in itself, not just the means to an end. Do you follow that? Like the idea sometimes is that, well, I'm listening so that in just a minute I can tell you everything that's going to change your life. And the real ministry happens when I get to share my wisdom with you. But what I want you to see here is that sometimes the real ministry isn't sharing your wisdom at all. It's just listening. Just allowing someone to be heard. You guys, there are people out there who feel like they have never been heard. And you spend even 10 minutes with them listening with both ears, it will transform them because they'll know that you care. What a huge thing. And I want to tell you, this is gospel-oriented. Guess what? Guess who listens to us? The Lord himself. Does that just blow your mind? That the creator of the ends and the earth, he listens to you with both ears. Shouldn't we follow in his example, right? All right, let me read you a long quote here, and I think this will challenge you. This is again from Bonhoeffer, this idea of how listening is its ministry, even in itself. He says, the first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. It is God's love for us that he not only gives us his word, but also lends us his ear. That is amazing. God is listening to you. So it is his work that we do for our brother when we learn to listen to him. Christians, and especially ministers, and definitely this one, so often think they must always contribute something when they are in the company of others, that this is the one service that they have to render. They forget that listening can be a greater service than speaking. Did you get that last part? Listening can be a greater service than speaking. Wow. Think about that a little bit. Many people are looking for an ear that will listen, and they do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking where they should be listening. But he who can no longer listen to his brother will soon be no longer listening to God either, and he will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God too. Wow. So here's the challenge to you today, okay? You're going to have people in your life. You may already have people in your life who have been hurt by the church. And their stories may have been similar to ones I've read, or they may not be similar at all. It may be completely something different. But what I want to challenge you to do is to invest yourself in their life and to find opportunities to listen. That's where it starts, okay? Now, we'll look next week at this idea of how to start moving through forgiveness. And it's quite a process for some things, depending on how deep the level of the hurt is. But this is where it begins. We need people who have been hurt by Christians, who have been hurt by the church, to recognize that there are people in church who will listen to them and will let them have a voice. And if we can do that, that will begin the change in their heart towards reconciliation and towards being redeemed. This is where healing begins, listening to people who have been hurt. And again, we'll look at forgiveness next week. And this is not something I do that often, but today I wanted to read you, there's just a really simple poem, and it just so well expresses this idea of what it means to be listened to. And I hope that it will just kind of encourage you this week. And even as you hear it today, you might even be praying who it is that you can listen to this week and maybe listen to without feeling like you have to give your advice or opinion. This is from John Fox. It's called When Someone Deeply Listens to You. He says this, when someone deeply listens to you, it's like holding out a dented cup. I love that picture. A dented cup that you've had since childhood and watching it fill up with cold, fresh water. When it balances on the top of the brim, you are understood. And when it overflows and touches your skin, you are loved. Again, being listened to. When someone deeply listens to you, the room where you stay starts a new life. And the place where you wrote your first poem begins to glow in your mind's eye. It is as if gold has been discovered when somebody listens to you. When someone deeply listens to you, your bare feet are on the earth and a beloved land that seemed distant is now at home within you. You guys recognize the power of listening with the heart of Christ to someone who's been hurt. It will make all the difference in the world. Let's stand this morning. We'll have a little time. I'll go and play at the piano again just a little bit. And so here's what I want to challenge you with today. First off, if you have been hurt by the church, and maybe some of you in here today even feel that you have been hurt and you're still having a hard time getting over some of those hurts, I just welcome you to come today and to seek the Lord to pray and say, Lord, I want to be reconciled. You know my hurts, and I want to lay them before you. Honestly, I'm not going to hide anything or cover anything up. I just want to get things reconciled with you because I know that's where I need to be. If that's where you need to be today, we encourage you to bring a friend to come. You can pray in your pew there as well, but start there. And then today, I want you to think about people that you know that maybe they have been hurt by the church, and they have been out for a while, and they have been upset and angry over something that happened. And I want you to pray for them specifically by name today, and I want you to pray for opportunity to listen to them. And so pray the Lord will provide that opportunity, and you'll be able to hear their heart and help them start to make that journey back to reconciliation to God through the gospel. So let's take some time this morning to pray. I'll play just a little bit, and then we'll come back and dismiss in prayer.